I call him Johnny Socialism Seed, because he planted the ideas of the Belfast Boys at home and abroad. He traveled to the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics between 1920 and 28, wrote lots of articles praising their new educational system, and of course he said it had some problems, but he was there to help them work it out, and the rest, as they say, is history. He also went to China. He studied and lectured in China from 1919 to 1921, and to this day, even here in the USA, he is considered by many people to be just a wonderful man who had so many important things to say about education, which all had to do with the government taking over education and teaching kids how to be good servants to National Socialism.
And of course, this was in keeping, was it not, Dr. Carey, with the whole Bellamy political worldview that everything would work more efficiently if it were in the hands of the state. So nationalize education, nationalize industry. Just you're looking at really the grandfathers of fascist socialism here.
Yes, sir. And sometimes I don't even use the word fascist. I just like to keep reminding people what the actual name of that party was, the National Socialist German Workers' Party. And the amazing thing is, it originally started out as the German Workers' Party, and then Hitler became involved, and there was another party over there called the Nationalist Party, which is another fascinating coincidence, because that's what the Bellamy Party was, that Bellamy inspired here in the United States long before the Hitler got involved with the German Workers' Party. Bellamy inspired the Nationalist Party, or Nationalism Party, here in the USA. Hitler took the German Workers' Party and added, and was also involved with the Nationalist Party, essentially combining the name so that it became the National Socialist German Workers' Party. And most people don't even know that, because all they ever hear in the media is the word Nazi repeated over and over again. They don't even know what it means or where it came from. And of course, they also know the term fascist. And the salute, as I indicated earlier, began from Francis Bellamy, Edward's cousin, as a military salute, because they loved the military, used the word efficiency. They thought it would promote efficiency. That's actually how they viewed the military. That's why they wanted to impose what they called military socialism on all of the country, the entire economy, food, clothing, shelter, farming, you name it. They wanted all of society to ape the military, because in their minds it was an efficient system.
And now a lot of folks, even in the Southern movement, Dr. Curry, have been miseducated into believing that Hitler and the Nazi Party adopted their salute from some antiquated Roman tradition. And so what you're telling us is that they actually got it from the American Socialists. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It's hard to tell exactly when or how that occurred. We were doing it from 1892 onward. In fact, the amazing thing is, Congress didn't decide to inject itself into the mess until after World War II started in 1942, when they wrote the Flag Code and decided that they wanted to go with the hand over the heart, because it was becoming so embarrassing, obviously, at that point. You have to also remember, before that time, there were the very popular new black and white films, including Ben-Hur, and that's the really old one. You may have never seen that one. Really old one. In which there would be fictional Roman scenes which would have a type of salute, apparently based on the Pledge of Allegiance, which was being used every day in government schools in the United States. Now, after that, it's interesting to remember that it wasn't illegal to support National Socialists in Germany until we entered the war, which was quite late, of course. So you had the German-American Bund Society or clubs, which were groups of Americans, often German-Americans, Americans of German descent, who were organized and politically supporting in the United States openly Hitler and the German National Socialists. And you can, to this day, you can watch history movies on the History Channel or elsewhere where they will show you pictures of German-American Bund meetings in America where people are doing the Pledge of Allegiance with the straight-arm salute, and they will not tell you that that was the salute of the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag as it developed from Francis Bellamy from 1892. They will imply to you that these are a bunch of screwy Americans doing the Nazi salute from Germany, when in fact, it's the reverse. We were doing it from 1892. We had kids essentially doing the Sieg Heil salute in our schools under government laws, which, by the way, mandated it back then. And if you didn't do it, they would expel you from school. They would even take children away from their parents on the argument that they were unfit parents if the parents wouldn't force the children to do it in school. And they would even throw people in jail, and of course there would be beatings and violence and persecution, which, oddly enough, sometimes even still happens today.
So actually what you're saying is, let's just make it crystal clear. The things that we associate in our minds with Hitler and the Nazi Party were things that were being imported from American socialism that Americans had already accepted and adopted at that point because of it being forced upon them by the federal government. And Dr. Curry has just made mention of the fact that there were many Americans who were supporting Hitler and the Nazi Party and the socialists there in Germany in the 1930s and on up into the early 1940s before we became involved in the war effort. One of those prominent families even continued to support the Nazis after America had entered the war, and of course we're talking about the Bush family. Many of our folks may not be familiar with the fact that Grandpa Bush, Prescott Bush, got in trouble with J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI because he continued to support the Nazis financially even after America was already involved in the war fighting them.
And it's really odd, isn't it, to see how so many members of the Republican Party seem to be so gung-ho about the federal flag and the Pledge of Allegiance, including, quite often, they're the ones that still to this day support new laws on top of all the laws we already have, as if we don't have too many already, mandating flags in every classroom, mandating the teachers lead the kids, and the Republicans are also, it just ties into the historic origins of the Republican Party. It's so ironic, from Lincoln and the War of Northern Aggression against Southern independence.
And it's about time that Southerners wake up to the fact that your version of patriotism is being patriotic to those principles of the Constitution. But folks, that's not the patriotism that's being forced upon you by the federal government and the Republican Party at the national level, or by George Bush and the rest of his cronies. We've basically supported Nazism when it was getting started across the ocean, and once it was defeated over there in Germany, we just simply picked up the remnants of it and brought it back right over here to our shores. And that's exactly what we're facing today, is a fascist government suppressing all of our freedoms and our liberties, what few still remain. And it's because of what started here, went across the sea, and now it's back. And Americans and Southerners in particular have got to open their eyes to the fact that this patriotism, this false patriotism coming out of George Bush and Washington, D.C., is not the patriotism that you have to the Constitution and biblical principles of government. And it's about time that Southerners realize the difference. And there really is no excuse for any Southern child to ever take an oath or pledge of allegiance to the federal flag. Terry, also, you better jump in here before I get in trouble.
Well, what I was going to say is that if anyone had the misunderstanding that we were simply picking on the Bushes and the Republicans only, let me say that there is a great myth out there that we need to drive the cold, steely knife of truth in right now. And that is the political spectrum, the myth of the political spectrum, is that on the far left, you have communists and socialists, and on the far right, you have Klansmen and skinheads and so-called Nazis. And that in the middle are moderate people who are open-minded. This is not reality at all. You do not have the Democrats on one side and the Republicans on the other. The true political spectrum is on one side you have total government, absolute dictatorship, the loss of all liberty, and on the other side you have absolute anarchy. And somewhere to the left of absolute anarchy you have limited constitutional government. If you go beyond that, you fall into creeping Fabian socialism, which is the kind of thing that the Bellamy's and H.G. Wells and a number of other famous people in England and France and the United States and all number of places in the West have supported long before there was a Hitler, long before there was a Marx. So we're not picking on the Democrat or we're not picking on the Republicans and leaving out the Democrats. What we're telling you is that there is no option between the Republicans and the Democrats. As George Wallace said, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two parties. They are both socialists. They are both pursuing a national socialist agenda. Dr. Curry's research, rather, on his website and what he said tonight demonstrates that. And we're not making this up, Brother Ray.
All right.
They can go to rexcurry.net right now, and you can see the photographs.
All right.
Of young American children giving a stiff arm salute while saying the Bellamy Pledge.
And
it's
folks,
unbelievable.
Folks, don't go anywhere because we're going to talk about some of those pictures when we come back. And I want us to also deal with the actual contents of the Pledge of Allegiance to the federal flag. What does it actually say? What does it actually mean? And does any Christian or does any Southerner have any business saying or allowing their children to say or just standing there, moving their mouth, acting like they're saying that pledge? Folks, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in just a minute. In these uncertain times, you owe it to yourself and your family to invest in the only medium that will hold its value during times of crisis. Precious metals. And reputation matters when you're dealing with your own personal investment. That's why you should consider Atlantic Bullion and Coin, an established firm owned by past Commander-in-Chief Ron Wilson of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, a trusted name in the Southern Movement, and a member of the South Carolina State Board of Education. Atlantic Bullion and Coin offers gold, silver, and platinum in both bullion and collectible coins and at affordable prices. There's also an online store of Southern and pro-Constitution books and other resources which will educate and encourage you to continue the struggle for liberty. Atlantic Bullion and Coin is a friend of the Southern Movement, and you can hear owner Ron Wilson's Straight Talk program right here on Dixie Broadcasting Monday through Friday. Click on the link to Atlantic Bullion and Coin where you can view the products and sign up to receive the free Precious Metals Market Update. That's AtlanticBullionandCoin.com. Folks, you're listening to Late Night Live with Ray and Terry and our special guest, Dr. Rex Curry, tonight here at Late Night Live. We're talking about the Pledge of Allegiance to the Federal Flag and the original salute that was started by the socialist Edward Bellamy when he wrote the Pledge to the Federal Flag. You've already heard some very, very interesting things, I'm sure. Probably some shocking information to many of you out there. I want to make it crystal clear. Dixie Broadcasting and myself and Terry both are very much patriotic Americans, but we're patriotic to the Constitution of our fathers, our forefathers, and our Confederate forefathers, those constitutional principles that were based upon biblical principles originally. So we are not patriotic to any man-made government. We're patriotic to the Constitution and those principles that are eternal, God-established principles. And that's the way that all Southerners used to look at things. It might not be the way they do now, but it's the way they used to be. So before you get too fired up and too upset because we're attacking the pledge to the federal flag or the salute to the federal flag, sit back a minute and think about what you're saying and what your grandfathers and their grandfathers believed about the Constitution and about government and about pledging your allegiance to something. And Dixie Broadcasting is not worried about anything to do with political correctness. All we care about is what's best for the Southern people, and that's why you're listening to what you're listening to tonight. So don't
Great
be
talk from Brother Ray.
Don't be offended. Go do your homework. Go to rexcurry.net on the internet. Look at it for yourself. It's right there in black and white, and even some good photographs that'll take your breath away. rexcurry.net. And now, Dr. Curry, what I'd like for us to do in this final segment here is actually examine the words to the pledge itself. And if you would just go through the pledge for us and make what comments you want to make about what people are saying when they say that pledge to the federal flag.
Sure. You know, it starts out, I pledge allegiance, and free people don't engage in loyalty oaths, and they definitely don't do it as children every day when a bell rings like Pavlov's lapdogs of the state and government schools that were taken over by national socialists who deliberately wanted to create a school monopoly even on the national level by people who were running organizations like the Nationalist Educational Association, deliberately named with similarity to the National Education Association. Aside from that, our government is so enormous and such enormous debt with just growing spending that is even more than double what it was under the previous administration and growing. Nobody pledges allegiance to all the trash that our government is doing today. The numbering of babies with Social Security numbers before they even leave the hospital so that they can be taxed and tracked with their jobs and residences and incomes and everything for the rest of their lives and everything else that the government does. Nobody supports this enormous Leviathan government and everything it does. So that, to begin with, the whole concept is absurd. The next part of it, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation. And of course, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the under God part was not in the original pledge. It was inserted in 1954. And then you come to the phrase, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The indivisible part is especially offensive, and it shows you what was going on in the mind of Francis Bellamy and Edward Bellamy, his cousin, when he wrote it, because he's telling you what their perception was of the War of Northern Aggression against Southern independence, which is that it wasn't about slavery, it was about their forcing the Southern states to stay within the Union, ending the concept of secession or independence if a state or a group of people decide that our government has gone bonkers and has become a national socialist monstrosity, and that they're tired of the debt, and that they're tired of the taxes, and they're tired of the Social Security numbers, and the police state, that keeps growing every day. Well, that's what they're telling you. Francis Bellamy was telling you, that's tough. You're stuck with National Socialism, and they're not going to let you get away from it to seek freedom and liberty.
And isn't it interesting that the federal government of the United States, not these United States, but the United States, certainly haven't had a problem with secession movements if it was in other parts of the world, whether it be the Soviet republics or Latvia and Lithuania, or secession movements going on in Iraq or Afghanistan, Pakistan, other places like that. But they sure don't seem to play the same tune when it comes to folks wanting to secede for the purpose of self-government on this continent.
Yes, sir. That's correct. And another thing I wanted to say, based on the comments from the last part, was you might notice I rarely say the word Nazi. I have developed a habit of constantly trying to use the term National Socialist German Workers' Party or the German National Socialists. And that's, of course, to help remind people of what the actual name of the party was, because it ties into the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And it's also interesting to remember that they joined Stalin and Hitler in 1939 in a pact to divide up Europe. They invaded Poland together, and their pact actually was a blueprint for dividing up Europe. And, of course, they had their falling out later, but they showed what their mindset was, totalitarianism. And, of course, Stalin promoted Mao as head of the of China, using the same socialist ideology. And, of course, we all know that they eventually had their falling out, which is what always happens with tyrants and totalitarianism. And that's what we have to worry about in this country.
And, Terry, I have no doubt I'm going to get some emails because of what we've already had on the show tonight, and some more because of what I'm fixing to say on here. So you're the webmaster, so if we get flooded, inundated with emails, Terry, you'll just have to, I don't know, catch them with a bucket or something.
Okay.
But, folks, I want you to think for a minute. Most of the folks that listen to Dixie Broadcasting are folks that are somehow involved or interested in the Southern movement today. The Southern movement is a wide-ranging group of organizations, everything from just folks that want to polish headstones and preserve street names to people that want secession today and liberty and a Southern Republic today and everywhere in between. But undoubtedly, if you're a member of any of those Southern organizations that are in existence, you take some form of salute or something to the Confederate flag, whether it be the First National, the Second National, the Third National, the Bonnie Blue, the Battle Flag, or whatever. And you salute your Confederate ancestors and our forefathers who fought and died for what was right and for those principles for what was right. And you'll turn right around after saluting to those principles for which they fought and died, and you'll put your hand over your heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance to the federal flag and to an indivisible Yankee Empire. And I'll just tell you, that word indivisible is both unbiblical and unconstitutional. There's nothing unconstitutional about what our Confederate forefathers did when they seceded. They did it to preserve liberty for themselves and your generation, but because they lost on the battlefield, you are not free men and free women. And it is unbiblical because to give your allegiance to any man-made entity and have the audacity to call it indivisible is well nigh blasphemy to God. Because I'll guarantee you there's empire after empire that God chose to divide, and he can divide this one if he decides to do so. So you think about that the next time you or some member of your family go to robotically bleed out that Pledge of Allegiance to the federal flag. You think about what the Bible says about a double-minded man being unstable in all his ways. And if you say, well, I just say it, but I say divisible. Well, the Bible also has something to say about the appearance of evil and abstaining from the appearance of evil. So think about those things. And before you get hot under the collar at me, you think about it, you pray about it, and you do your homework. And to be quite honest, Terry, I don't think any Southerner who knows the truth and hears what they heard tonight has any business ever allowing themselves or their children to say the pledge to the federal flag again. And I'm going to be quiet, Terry, and let you close us out here for the show tonight.
So as our listeners can tell tonight, Brother Ray has reached another level of absolute passion, and we have definitely hit on a hot topic for Brother Ray and for myself. I guess probably nothing reaches and grabs a hold of my ire any more quickly than this topic. Perhaps the government schools, I get pretty hot about that too, but I would encourage everyone to visit rexcurry.net. There you're going to be able to find in black and white and sometimes red and blue all of Dr. Curry's research on the Bellamy's, the Pledge of Allegiance, the Stiff Arm Salute, National Socialism, and how all of this ties into our current political and educational system, and how it has affected the lives of every single American for the last 100 years. And if that isn't of interest to you, I don't know what is. Brother Ray, I tell you what, we just could not cover in the short amount of time that we had tonight all of the things that Dr. Curry has to offer, that's for sure. I hope that he'll be interested in coming back and letting our listeners hear a little bit more.
Well, I do too. And Dr. Curry, I hope that you will consider coming back and being on the broadcast with us at a later time. I know that I have enjoyed both the information I've learned from your website and also the things that I've learned from you tonight on the broadcast.
Well, I had a great time. I'd love to come back. I've enjoyed chatting with you. So anytime you're ready, just give me a holler, and I'll be right here.
Well, we'll definitely do that. And, folks, we want to hear what you think about tonight's broadcast, so go ahead and send the emails, whether it's positive or negative, or you couldn't hear us or you didn't like what you hear. It doesn't matter. Just send us an email. Let us know what you thought about tonight's broadcast. We appreciate you listening. And, Terry, as we close out the show tonight, we're going to end the show with a song that was Miss Barbara's most requested songs, the song she asked me to play most often when we were doing a late night live show. It's Mr. Josh Groban singing You Raise Me Up. And Terry wants you to know all of our listeners and myself, too, love you. We'll keep praying for you and the children. And folks, as you listen to this song, just remember what Brother Terry always says. Without Christ, there is no victory. God bless and good night.